This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Well, we always love to hear what's going on, and we love to kind of get started with that conversation by hearing what the Holy Father is up to with the weekly general audience.
Absolutely. We had a beautiful sunny day today, even though there is rain forecasted today and the clouds have rolled out. But by the grace of God, there was not a drop this morning. And the Holy Father continued his theme of apostolic zeal and what that means to the great missionaries and what that means to all of the faithful. He said today that prayer is one of the greatest characteristics of all the great missionaries. And to prove that, he looked to the example of Matteo Ricci, the venerable Matteo Ricci. He's pointed out, he has been looking at different spiritual heroes who exemplify this. You may remember that last week he spoke about St. Andrew Kim, who's the first native priest of Korea and a martyr for the faith. Now, he dreamed of evangelizing in China, but he didn't end up making it there in his lifetime. So today, as the Pope focused on Venerable Matteo Ricci, he actually did have the opportunity to enter into China. He, of course, who was a Jesuit. And he said that the Pope said that Ricci's love for the Chinese people remains what he called an enduring source of inspiration for relations between the church and China. And a little background, Matteo Ricci was born in the Marche region right here in Italy. And as a young man, he heard the stories of great missionaries. And he asked the Jesuits to then send him to the missions in the Far East. Now, he managed to learn Chinese as well. He immersed himself in the culture there, even began to write in Chinese. And he had a real gift of being able to foster respectful dialogue. So in China, he became known and respected as a wise man and as a scholar. And the Pope noted that Ricci had a gift of making the gospel known not only in his writings, but by his example of religious life, by his example of prayer and the way that he lived virtue. And in this way, the Pope suggested that Ricci attracted many of his Chinese disciples and friends to embrace the Catholic faith. So when Matteo Ricci died in Peking in 1610, he was 57 years old. He was actually the first foreigner who was permitted by the emperor to be buried on Chinese soil. And the Pope said that Ricci was just consumed by the labors of his mission because of that incredible dedication that he had, especially his continuous willingness to welcome visitors who sought him out any time of day or night in order to ask his advice or ministry. And the Pope, especially today, praised Venerable Matteo Ricci's strong prayer life, his strong witness to Christ, his resistance to worldliness, and his closeness to Christ through prayer, especially looking at these attributes as ways that all of us can grow closer to the Lord and all of us can live a missionary life, preaching the gospel wherever we go.
Well, Ashley, being able to hear all of those weekly general audiences, and especially this current series on apostolic zeal, has to fire you up a little bit too, that you can't help but have that happen, huh?
Exactly. And one of the reasons I feel so blessed to have this opportunity to share on Relevant Radio every week, to share about the truth of the Lord, to share about how our faith is celebrated in different parts of the world, and hopefully to light fires in the hearts of all of our listeners to grow closer and closer to God, and to do the same in their corners of the world, to find ways to really celebrate the richness and the treasures of our faith.
Oh, amen to that. Absolutely. And what are the inspirational things that our Holy Father does? And we can recall seeing various of images of sweetness like this throughout his pontificate. But when he meets with young people who are struggling physically in a certain way, we have note that he recently met with young cancer patients from Poland.
Yes, indeed. This happened earlier this week on Monday. And these were children who were being treated at the Wrocław Oncology Clinic, as well as their families. Now, the Pope had a beautiful message for them reminding them that Jesus is always close to them. And he greeted each child individually. He gave each child a special blessed rosary. And he reminded them that even in the moments of sickness, those most painful moments, the most difficult moments, he said, the Lord is there. And he reminded them that God loves them. He also asked a very important question of all those young children who were present. He said, do you want to be apostles of God's love in the church and in the world? He reminded these children that Jesus needs them for this witness, and that he entrusts his plans to them. And he asks, do you want to be my apostles of love? So the Pope encouraged all of them and all of us to answer yes to Christ with enthusiasm and to bring the joy of God's love to others. And he also reminded all of the youth who are suffering with cancer to think of Our Lady often, and also invited all present there that day to pray a Hail Mary together in this month of Mary Glenn.
We're talking with Ashley Nerona, our correspondent in Rome, with the very latest on what the Holy Father has been up to this week, whether it be the general audience or a meeting with cancer patients. For the country as a whole, a couple big celebrations coming up this Friday. First, on the civil side of things, Italy celebrating Republic Day. What does that all entail?
Yes, Festa della Repubblica. You can practice saying that, Glenn. This is a national public holiday that we celebrate here. So that means everything is closed in Rome. And this is actually our 77th edition of this annual event. It commemorates that day back in 1946 when Italians voted in favor of a republic, when they voted against the monarchy. And at that point, the monarchy had been discredited during World War II. So this special national holiday for us begins with our president, Sergio Mattarella. He lays a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier at the Vittoriano Monument, right there in Piazza Venezia in the heart of Rome. And after the president lays that wreath, then probably the most popular and anticipated event of the day begins with an aeronautical display. The Frecce Tricolori, the special Air Force jets, fly overhead in formation around the city, emitting plumes of red, white, and green smoke, leaving that smoke behind them, the colors of the Italian flag. And after that, there's a major military parade. It goes along the Via dei Fiori Imperiali. That street is better known as the street that runs right next to the Colosseum and the Forum. So there's going to be thousands of members of Italy's army, navy, police forces, troops, military vehicles. They make their way around the Baths of Caracalla and the Colosseum and the Forum through Piazza Venezia and the Circus Maximus. It's very, very exciting moment here. And then, Glenn, as a little side note, speaking about great events happening in this city, just a couple of days ago, Rome hosted the final stage of this year's Giro d'Italia. That's the great bike race. This was actually the 106th edition of this race. It's the world's second largest bike race. And imagine that the bikers, after riding 2,165 miles, they ended in Rome. So that means, of course, as a result, there's lots of street closures and bus diversions and parking restrictions along the race route. Well, I have to tell you, Glenn, there was one particular person who was stuck in traffic who was not so happy about the race. It was a bride. Here she was sitting in stopped traffic, unable to get to her wedding in time, each minute becoming later and later to get to the Church of Santa Maria in Araceli, right there on the Capitoline Hill. Well, what happened was, thanks to a very astute police officer in the crowd, he spied her there. He saved the day, created an impromptu police escort, and got the bride to the church on time, where her happy husband-to-be was waiting there at the altar, Glenn.
Waiting there, taking a big sigh of relief, and I'm sure they've got a new name idea possibility for the first child, perhaps, in that in that police officer. Oh, what a fabulous story! And you know, and you were talking about the celebration of the Republic as well, as the little boy in me always loves to see jets fly over, and so that I've seen pictures of that too, is so cool. Hey, and one other feast day for the church being celebrated pretty well in Rome this Friday too.
Indeed. The 2nd of June, on Friday, we'll celebrate the Feast of Saints Marcellinus and Peter. And those names, of course, sound very familiar to us because the mention of their names is optional in the Eucharistic Prayer 1. Now, these two men lived and died under the reign of Emperor Diocletian. St. Marcellinus was a priest. St. Peter was an exorcist. They were each martyred for their faith. And to give you a little background of the times in which they lived, from 303 to 304 AD, Diocletian made four edicts specifically against Christians. And the first was that all sacred books should be destroyed, that meetings of Christians were forbidden, masses could not be held. The second edict said that all representatives of the church, bishops, priests, deacons, exorcists, they had to be imprisoned. And it got to the point where the prisons were so full, they couldn't even hold people who broke civil laws. Then the third edict, promoted the death penalty for anyone who did not honor the pagan gods. So, indeed, these two men were imprisoned. Their jailer taunted them. They said, if your God is so powerful, why don't you free yourselves? Well, you can guess what happened. The next day, they were miraculously freed from prison. The jailer, along with his entire family, converted to Christianity. And so, after that, they were arrested again. They were brought to a secret location in the woods so that others couldn't come venerate their remains. And there they were beheaded there. But through the grace of God, that executioner converted and eventually he and another woman went and took their bodies and buried them in a place we now know as the catacombs of St. Marcellinus and Peter. So on this day, on Friday, people will go visit those catacombs. They will honor the place that their bodies once were, and they will also visit the church of Saints Marcellinus and Peter, where a relic is placed there under the main altar. And that church really knows how to celebrate because they're having a full week of pilgrimages. They're having special masses throughout the city, and they're having an outdoor food and sweets festival. But the finale on the last day is that they're having a dance just for little kids. It's a kids-only dance, and I think it's so cute. So we ask especially for the prayers of Saints Marcellinus and Peter so that we can all have that same kind of love for the gospel in all that we do, Ren.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.